On today's show, FBI Director Patel announces probe into Arctic Frost federal agents.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Will picked up his phone. Is that because you're getting tracked for Arctic Frost?
No, somehow I had it actually on Ring, which I feel like is like
rare.
20 years old. Haven't had that in
you
20
had
years.
A ring? You have a phone ring?
I don't like it. I like it quiet.
Yeah, you're like silent mode. But you know, I thought maybe that's why. Because, you know, we announced today, you've seen the headline. Here, your headline. Today was Kash Patel exposes federal agent probe. And I was like, what does that mean? Well, that's right. FBI Director Patel announced there is an ongoing criminal investigation against the personnel involved in that controversial, of course, Biden-era Arctic Frost, which probed a lot of different people and got a lot of phone records. Many members of Congress, people that were like lightly adjacent. These were people who maybe just were Republicans, maybe just conservatives, didn't necessarily have anything to do with specific Trump-era things. And of course, now we are seeing, once again, some positive movement from the FBI. What do you think about this? I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. That's at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We are midway through the week here. We are midway now through our year-end drive. I want you to be a part of that today, of course, at ACLJ.org. If you want to make a donation, all donations are doubled for the rest of the month. As we wrap up our year, we usually try to get, you know, December's a big month for all nonprofit organizations, all donation-driven organizations, so you can be a part of that team today. We have another great ACLJ supporter, ACLJ member, or champion, big group of them, ready to unlock a matching donation up to, I think, $1 million. So, you know, at this point, donate what you can to help us try to break some records here today. But Will, why don't you give us a bit more information about this FBI probe?
That's right. There's a lot of movement around Arctic Frost, as well as the side of the FBI that was investigating not just President Trump, but other members of Congress, conservatives, after the 2020 election. And what we're finding out is that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, has disclosed that there is an ongoing criminal investigation into federal personnel involved in Arctic Frost, as well as he said to Just the News, I'm not going to let people get off the hook or get a hall pass. It takes a little time to break down the disease temple that they built here in Washington for decades. But I harp on the fact that this investigation should show the world how we're going to operate in every single investigation. So Kash Patel obviously has been in the news a lot lately because of the catching of the alleged pipe bomber in the January 6th and January 5th pipe bombing incident, where pipe bombs were placed at the DNC and the RNC. They did not go off. However, it took nearly 5 years to catch and apprehend the individual responsible for that. So what we are looking at now is not only is this a revelation that there is a criminal investigation ongoing and how the agents operated, how things were taken, the violation of maybe individuals' constitutional rights by the FBI, but there's a lot of other things going on too, we'll get to in the next segment, out of Congress that pushes back and hopefully blocks some of this from ever happening again. But I think it's a very important step that we know it's not just an internal investigation. It's not just a inspector general of the DOJ looking into what we could do better, where we went wrong. There is actual ongoing criminal investigation looking into the actions of federal agents and federal employees as they weaponized the DOJ and the FBI against conservatives just a few years ago.
That's right. Phone lines are open for your questions or comments about this or any of the topics that we've been discussing recently. 1-800-684-3110. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are continuing our fight this month, and we want to bring to attention some of our fights for pro-life pregnancy centers. We're going to have Cece Heil on a little bit later to discuss some updates from there, because we know that they, you know, the when you have Mondami, you have all these other people who are coming through, it's in their public statements that they're trying to get rid of these pregnancy resource centers, which are usually volunteer-driven, and the ACLJ is not going to stop help supporting them. And we can't do it without you. At 1-800-684-3110, give me a call. Go to ACLJ.org or have your donations doubled today. Welcome back to Seculo. We're screening some calls. We got a couple lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. Again, for a lot of you who are just joining us right now, you may be seeing that headline. That's right. FBI Director Kash Patel announced that there is an ongoing criminal investigation into those federal agents who were involved in that Arctic Frost probe, which, again, I'm sure you've heard about us talk about what feels like ad nauseum. But if you haven't, we're talking about where many members of Congress and others were, their phone records were gathered and distributed. But of course, we have a new FBI who's saying, you know what, we're not just going to let people who did these things get away with it. Because again, they were people who were not necessarily even directly involved what was happening. Let's actually hear from Director Kash Patel, Byte One.
It takes a little time to break down the disease temple that they built here in Washington for decades. But I harp on the fact that this investigation should show the world how we are going to operate in every single investigation, Arctic Frost specifically. We have a huge investigation going. That is public. I can say that. Yeah. And it's going to take a little more time to peel it back. But no, I'm not going to let people get off the hook or get a hall pass. I don't care what position you held in the FBI. You're going to be held accountable. And this DOJ is assuredly backing us.
Once again, being very direct, Will.
That's right. And this is at a time when you're also seeing a lot of other moves. You're seeing that the House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed Jack Smith to sit before them for a deposition, so a closed-door deposition on December 17th, just a week from today. Then you also look at that they are requiring documents be provided by Friday so they can prepare for that deposition. Remember, they had asked for him to come speak, and he said, I'll do it in public. I'll go for the show. You know, it's much easier to defend yourself in an open hearing when there's a lot of partisan made-for-TV moments than it is in a true deposition behind closed doors. So Jim Jordan called his bluff and said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to subpoena you, and you're going to come sit before us in a deposition in the middle of December. So good on that. We'll see what comes out of that. We also know that Chuck Grassley over on the Senate side saying that they will be holding hearings about Arctic Frost and Jack Smith in the new year, in January, early on. They'll be having that on the Senate side. So congressional oversight's taking place. The FBI itself is doing a criminal investigation of the bad actors involved in this. At the same time, Elise Stefanik, who is running for governor of New York, still in the House of Representatives, good friend of the broadcast, has gotten a provision into the National Defense Authorization Act, which is where the money, the funding of all of our national defense comes through. This is the appropriations bill for that. A provision in there that forces the FBI to disclose the initiation of a counterintelligence assessment or investigation against a candidate for federal office or a current elected official within 15 days of its launch. So putting into law, and the National Defense Authorization Act is expected to pass. It is a very essential piece of legislation that keeps our military and all of our national defense funded. There may be some pushback on little provisions, but by and large, the 3,000-page bill typically goes through because both sides see it as important. So if her provision remains, it will then be codified into law that if the FBI is looking into a candidate or a current elected official, as they did during Arctic Frost, they have to notify that person within 15 days. So you got about a two-week head start of trying to get your information before you have to notify them.
And Elise Stefanik spoke about this today on Fox Business. Let's take a listen to that.
Working on this provision for a number of years, and it goes back to when James Comey, former FBI director, testified in an open hearing. He did not follow proper protocol when he illegally opened Crossfire Hurricane targeting President Trump in 2016. He did not notify Congress. That closes this Comey loophole, and it pushes back on the illegal weaponization of the FBI to target political candidates like they have done with President Trump.
So now we have seen this sort of on repeat over and over again, but what's nice is maybe unlike previous administrations, even look, I would even say the previous Trump administration, you have an FBI that's not just showing corruption, not just saying this is what happened or is happening, saying we're going to take action. You hear that from Elise, you hear that from Kash Patel, people who are actually putting probes in place that are investigating. It's not just, here's what happened, whoops, and I think he even mentioned that. Like, they're not just going to get a hall pass for these kind of egregious behavior.
Here's what's interesting to me as well, and I am curious where it all stems from. Was the trust in the FBI so broken by what we saw from Comey and Ray over that long period, which was even during the Trump administration, because Christopher Wray was put in to that position during the Trump administration the first time. And we saw the bad actions of the Bureau continue because they, the entire time, were weaponized against President Trump and against conservatives. Then we saw that get hyperspeed, put into hyperdrive almost, to in the Biden administration, where they were going after just normal everyday conservatives. But what I'm seeing, you see in the world of X with all the influencers and things, that they've created a anti-FBI bias so much that even President Trump's handpicked people are the bad guys still.
Right.
And I see that in the chat right now. Like, what is Kash Patel going to do anything about it? Well, he is the director of the FBI. And if there's a criminal investigation into this, then what you can logically conclude is that if the evidence is there, there can be charges that come from this. Not just you're fired, maybe you still get your pension, yeah, but actual criminal charges.
Yeah, you've built a bias against the federal government, the federal government branches, and all the different sort of departments. It is hard to break that. It is hard for me to remind my, not hard, but when we're doing these broadcasts, to remind myself all the different versions. When we're talking about the FBI, we're not necessarily always talking about the FBI of now. We could be talking about the FBI 4 years ago. We could be talking about the FBI, though, from the Trump administration the first time, that they also told us was doing things that were not necessarily up to snuff, because we know the issues that we had with that FBI. And of course, you have James Comey and you have all these people. It is hard when you have built that distrust system, as Will said. And then you have even cracks. If there's a crack, and of course, we had that a couple times this year, where maybe some of the campaign promises by those FBI directors, or really the answers that they have, were not what the answers of the social media side of politics, which is only, you know, maybe 5%, I'd say, or less, of people who actually vote and actually care. You know, 95% of people don't care or are not engaged that way. But the people that do care say, you know what, these are some of the top topics we cared about. It feels like you've blown us off. And now you are seeing the FBI trying to rebuild even their own maybe stumbles in the first 6 months by now doing things like the January 6th bomber, or this issue specifically, Arctic Frost, saying, look, you can trust us. You can rebuild.
Well, and what's so interesting, too, and I think it's very telling, is even the deputy director, Dan Bongino, he was asked directly by, I believe it was either Sean Hannity or whoever he was on the night of the announcement of the bomber being apprehended. They asked him, hey, when you were on air, you were talking a lot. You went many different places. Is there a cover-up specifically? Is there all these things? But now you're saying this is the individual and the FBI had the information. You know, what changed? And he was like, I was a paid opinion broadcaster, and I didn't have all the evidence. I had training in things to look at, but I was giving my opinion of what it was.
Yeah.
Now that I'm in here, I've looked at all the evidence, but that's even not enough for many people on the right, which is shocking in the conservative sphere, that trust these people. And then when they see the evidence, the individual, and says, hey, here's what it is, they no longer trust them, because they'd rather believe the opinion sphere rather than when someone does have the evidence is able to. And I give Dan Bongino a lot of credit for admitting and saying, like, there's two different sides of this. Now that, yeah, I'm in it and can see all the evidence and know that we have got our man, you should take my word for it.
Yeah, and I think I understand there is a bit of that, because if you are a hardcore follower of Bongino or Kash Patel or any of these people, you're right. They were giving their opinions, their thoughts, kind of definitively. You know, they were, you can't say they didn't have any record. Sure, they didn't have record as a public servant, or didn't have a record as a FBI director or behind the curtain at the time, but they certainly have a large public record you can go back on. I think when President Trump makes a decision to bring on people who are have been loud for years on air, it would not be unlike going back through our archives and finding stuff that we've speculated on or said. Sure, we could be wrong. There could be statements. Now, we don't really get into a lot of those kind of issues, but he did. And it's not that I think they should be held accountable for them. I think you should be able to say, okay, now I have the facts. It's true. But I understand maybe a little bit of a disappointment if you are one of their fans. That's what, let's just go back to. It's like Dan Bongino has fans.
Right.
Kash Patel has fans. People who are like listeners, daily viewers, listeners, supporters, who do remember if you speculated for months that this was something more nefarious than what was being led on. Same with the Epstein situation. Same with those. When you get them in a room and you go, oh, well, now we have the evidence and we think it's X, not Y, there is a big record you can go back on. I think it's important to remember that when you're broadcasting, specifically if you have dreams and goals that maybe are beyond that, that one day you may be held accountable for those views. Not to say that they aren't two separate entities, and they kind of are. But I think if there's a large record, we got to be careful. That's why you can't just go with what's trending right now. You can't go with whatever's going to pop a number real quick. If you do have beyond aspirations, beyond YouTube or Rumble or whatever it may be. And with that, we got calls coming in. We're going to take some phone calls when we get back at 1-800-684-3110. CeCe Hiles also going to be joining us, ACLJ senior attorney, because we have an update on some of those pregnancy resource centers and our fight to keep them operating safely, securely. And of course, a lot of those are incredibly run by people who are often volunteers. Some of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Of course, the states have to be going after them. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. Support the work of the ACLJ right now on our website, aclj.org. Welcome back to Seculo. As I said, phone lines are open. We got two lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take a lot more calls in the back half of the show, but right now we're joined by ACLJ senior attorney CeCe Hiles. We have an update. It's, of course, this month during our year-end drive. This is a very important time of the year for the ACLJ as people decide where they're going to put their charitable givings, their nonprofit donations, or try to figure out how you're going to support the work that you you love and you've been praying for, maybe. And we know a lot of you pray for us. We really appreciate it. And I, more than ever, we really could use your prayers and your support. When you're thinking about the, where you're going to give financially, if there is any of that extra, we know right now that it's a tough time for a lot of people. But if you can, we are hoping to break some records because we have a great year-end drive where donations are doubled and matched. So if you're ready, you make a donation of any kind, really at any number, it will be matched directly by one of our ACLJ members or ACLJ champions. And I encourage you to do that today at aclj.org, because one of the fights that we have been fighting for years and years and years, but really it has seems like it's amped up over the last handful of years, is this support of pro-life pregnancy resource centers. You may remember them as crisis pregnancy centers. Really, you're talking about pregnancy resource centers. A lot of times they provide ultrasounds, clothing, a lot of them have birthday celebrations or providing formula. You know, it's these places you go when you want to have a different option to abortion. And this has been... again, on a lot of our hearts for a long time. A lot of them are the sweetest people you'll ever meet when you talk to them. They are there to save children's lives, simply, a lot of times for free, or a lot of times for very little. These are a lot of times volunteer-run organizations. With that, they've been under attack. They've been under attack by a lot of these states. They've been trying to get shut down, saying that they are lying and deceptive and unsafe, and we know that's simply not true. And we've been able to successfully win on many occasions for them, but the fights don't stop. And we actually have a big update, Will.
That's right. And the other day we were talking about that in just a little over a month, our attorneys will be in court in Massachusetts in an oral argument against arguing for our clients, the Pregnancy Resource Centers, against a motion to dismiss filed by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, trying to get the case thrown out of court where they were running a smear campaign against them. And we were arguing it violated the constitutional rights with the government oppressively going after and attacking through this this campaign, this ad campaign, the Pregnancy Resource Centers. And we mentioned, CeCe, when we were talking about the preparation our attorneys are doing right now for that oral argument that's coming up in January, that there we also filed on Monday this notice of supplemental authority because there was a new ruling out of a different circuit that has would help us in this case.
Yeah.
And what we are talking about here is that Letitia James in New York, that's a very familiar name if you've watched this broadcast, but not in addition to going after President Trump all the time, yeah. She also has been waging a very similar campaign against pregnancy resource centers in the state of New York.
Yes.
And so there was a case there that on appeal, they were the pregnancy resource centers were actually able to get a preliminary injunction against the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, who was going after their speech. This is a case that ACLJ filed in.
Yes.
And it's a major victory against one of the most egregious bad actors against conservatives and those that want to protect life in the country, Letitia James.
Yeah, and this is, we fought this and we fought it, in fact, 15 years ago, we fought New York. and the Attorney General and a law there that was once again going after PRCs. And here we see Letitia James. She sued Heartbeat International and 11 PRCs, basically saying that they were providing false and misleading statements when they were talking about abortion pill reversal, which is very much scientifically proven. It is, we talk a lot about the abortion pill mifepristone, and once you take mifepristone, it's basically a progesterone inhibitor. And so this abortion pill reversal is you supplement with progesterone and that overcrowds and you can actually save the baby. So it is an abortion pill reversal. Of course, Letitia James, because she's owned by the pro-abortion people, that she, you know, wants to shut this down because it literally is saving babies' lives. And she's saying this is false and misleading and goes after them saying it's commercial advertising. Well, the Second Circuit didn't buy it, thankfully. And they literally said, no, this is not commercial speech. This is exactly the kind of speech that is protected by the First Amendment. So you cannot go after them and shut them down and stop them from speaking this message.
And it also reveals a lot about the left that we know about, where the left talks about trusting the science. They want to put all their belief in their god of science, if you will, and except for when it doesn't play nicely with their political narratives. This is an instance that showcases that. What they believe in is they worship at the altar of abortion. That's right. We've said that many times over the years on this broadcast and many different ways throughout the ACLJ's history. And if something could attack abortion and the ability for abortionists to continue their mission and make money off of the killing of children, then they are going to try to fight it. And what we have here is a perfect example of that, because we know very much from the work, especially that these PRCs do, that there are many women that after the decision of abortion have instant regret and have these feelings. And there are sometimes, especially when using the abortion pill, which is a medical abortion, is what they call it, a medication abortion. There are different options that aren't as immediate as surgical abortion. They don't want a PRC to be able to talk about options.
Right. That's exactly right.
And when there is science that could show something else, they don't want them to talk about that science. And that's exactly what Letitia James was doing here, was waging a war on speech, a war on scientific advancement, and all of the things that they say they care about on the left, but in reality, they do not.
They do not. And, you know, pro-choice is their name. And they only are pro one choice. They don't want you to even know you have a choice. If you take this abortion pill, they don't want you to know that there is a chance that you can reverse it. If you take that pill and have regrets, which we know many women do, that there is a chance to reverse it. And they don't want that information in the hands of pregnant women. And so Second Circuit shot Letitia James down, and hopefully we'll have a successful outcome at the very end of this case as well.
So understand, when you support the work of the ACLJ, these are the kind of things that you are supporting. And of course, it's during Christmas time. We know for a lot of you, things are shutting down. It's getting quiet maybe around the office, getting quiet around home. Maybe I know a lot of colleges are already off for Christmas, which is wild. You know, this is happening right now. You're not going to be thinking about supporting your favorite organizations, but I encourage you right now, because the ACLJ doesn't shut down. These are happening in real time. You know, we're not just bringing up old topics over the years. These are issues that happen just this week, and you can be a part of that too. Of course, we'll do all the heavy lifting for you. All you got to do is consider supporting the work of the ACLJ. You'll get updates regularly from our team. That's at aclj.org, whether that's through emails or videos. We put out a lot of great content that you get. And of course, when you're a supporter, you get a lot of that straight to your email or however it is, or you can get the ACLJ app and you get a custom skin if you're a ACLJ champion. I encourage you, we only got a half an hour left, but a lot of you don't get us for the second half hour. If you don't get us, find us later on broadcasting on however you get your podcasts or live right now at aclj.org. Do it today. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're trying to have some really groundbreaking, record-breaking days. And we did yesterday, had a great day. We can see when people support during the broadcast. So if you like this show and you like our legal work, support it today. It's all supported from you. It's not supported by major advertisers or even major donors. It's all people that give on an individual level, or maybe you'll give monthly as an ACLJ champion. But either way, during this year and drive. Your donation is doubled. So do it today at ACLJ.org. Second half hour coming right up. We're take your calls and comments.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. It's Wednesday. We are live. We're going to take some calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. At the beginning of the half hour, we like to give you a brief just reminder of the main topic of the day. Because you may have just tuned in, saw CeCe Heil, heard about our work at Pro-Life Pregnancy Resource Centers. I love that. That is why we are here. We are here for those kind of clients, support them at absolutely no cost. I love that so much. But of course, I know a lot of you tune in because you see the headlines, you want to know what's going on. And we are talking about an update into the Arctic Frost situation. As FBI Director Kash Patel said, hey, I've opened up a criminal investigation into those bad actors who were involved, potentially bad actors that were involved in that Arctic Frost investigation, which of course included getting members of President Trump's allies, but also just Congress people, conservatives in general, getting their phone records a lot of times for absolutely no real cause other than just a lightly conservative point of view. And he said, I'm not going to let those people get off the hook or get a hall pass. Let's actually go back a little bit. We heard him earlier. Let's go to Bite One again so you can hear from Director Patel.
It takes a little time to break down the disease temple that they built here in Washington for decades, but I harp on the fact that this investigation should show the world how we are going to operate in every single investigation, Arctic Frost specifically. We have a huge investigation going. That is public. I can say that. Yeah. And it's going to take a little more time to peel it back. But no, I'm not going to let people get off the hook or get a hall pass. I don't care what position you held in the FBI. You're going to be held accountable. And this DOJ is assuredly backing us.
And once again, that is Director of the FBI, Kash Patel. I think we should go to a phone call here because we did ask, you know, why are we seeing on the right a lot of pushback against whether it be Kash Patel,
Dan
Bongino. We see
it
in the comments. So I think we should get to some of that. Let's go to Bob calling from Florida on line one. Bob, you're on Seculo.
Hey, Bob.
How are we doing, guys? Hey, let's just on the Patel and you're in the YouTube about the can he defeat the deep state? Kash Patel cannot defeat the deep state. Kash Patel doesn't prosecute. One of the guys in the chat on YouTube, Brad Anderson, said it perfectly. Patel can't prosecute them. Bondi has to prosecute them. They screwed up the Comey the Comey prosecution. It doesn't matter. You're going after the DC pipe bomber who nobody knows, yet Anthony Fauci is out there. You don't have to build a new case against him. The Department of Justice needs wins that everybody on both sides of the aisle know. Don't bring me some Brian Cole. Not that that's not important. Brian Cole doesn't move the needle. Anthony Fauci moves the needle. Comey moves the needle. Now, President Trump, who we voted for, who I really like on 99% of the things that he does, he can be free and loose with the way he says things. He can come in and say, I will end the war before I even take office, or it will end in my first 10 days. Nobody really believes that because those wars aren't stopping that quickly. He speaks loudly and he's a little free with things. Patel and Bongino, they don't have that luxury. And they have, as you guys very, very smartly pointed out, they have a past as being personalities. And every time it looks like they swing and miss, it pushes the investigation or the belief in the investigation to the general public back weeks or months.
Bob,
because now we spend weeks and months talking about Kash Patel in a jacket that doesn't fit, or does his girlfriend deserve
Bob,
to have...
I'm only cutting you off for 45 seconds, not cutting you off because of your comments. I think you have very valid points. And look, I don't necessarily agree with them, but I understand the frustration. We are, like I said, we are about to be at a year into the President Trump's administration. At a year is when you got to stop blaming the other side, stop blaming the other previous administration. We got to start moving forward here. We talked about that yesterday. I believe it today. You are right. They have a record. We're going to talk about that. Of course, what does that record look like when they were just opinion journalists, if you will, and now they're moving forward as FBI directors? We'll get into that. I understand you feel like they need to earn your trust. I disagree in the sense of, I think something like the January 6th pipe bomber, I don't really want people who are essentially terrorists roaming the streets of Virginia. And if that was something that was that easy to take care of, I'm happy that it got taken care of. With that, though, we'll be right back with more on Seculo and where we take more calls, 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I actually want to take as many calls as I can. So please call in if you're watching online even, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and kick it off.
I want to respond to the previous caller a little bit before we go on one more one, because I think he did make a lot of valid points. I think there are kind of two things at work here as I see it, as a media analyst as well as a government analyst with all the hats that we wear here. One, I do feel like to some degree, the voices on social media on the right from conservative-ish influencers have gotten to a point where they are doing very much similar things that the mainstream media have done, where they find one thing and latch onto it and don't let go, and that becomes the narrative, when in reality, they are releasing the numbers of how much violent criminals they've taken down, how many terror attacks they've stopped, things of that nature. The FBI is trying to be transparent with what they are doing. But I do feel like there's a lot of influencers, like he mentioned the jacket that didn't fit.
Yeah, it was a hit piece. I don't know anything about that.
It was printed in the New York Post by Miranda Devine about how bad he is at his job. It was a hit piece by anonymous sources. So it wasn't like he was putting that out there like, I'm going to talk about this only. It was a hit piece. He responded to it. And Eric Swalwell picked it up and ran with it. So to some degree, a lot of people that are hearing things like this are then taking the bait that people like Eric Swalwell are taking. I agree with you on the January 6th pipe bomber. I would prefer to have someone that planted active devices at the RNC and DNC not roaming the streets. I do agree there are other people that should be looked at and investigated. Sure. There is the other thing, too. If there's no law that they can prove beyond a reasonable doubt in court, then they're probably not going to get indicted by the DOJ. The Comey situation was a disappointment. It was rushed through at the end because the statute of limitations was running out. And I agree with the caller as well. Yes, the attorney general does have to, at the end of the day, move forward. Or U.S. attorney, not necessarily
they're
her signing
hand,
off on everything. But the DOJ is who takes the evidence gathered by the FBI and then proceeds with prosecution. So, yes, that's how that works. But I think that the DOJ has been doing a very good job about prosecuting who they can and not prosecuting who they cannot. Yeah. And so we'll have to see how it plays out. But I'm not at the point where a lot of people are that I've given up all faith in the system.
We actually have a lot of comments coming in. And one of them just said, it's surprising that we as conservatives are skeptical. Even though I trust Patel and Bongino, we had the last regime lie to us about everything. I think there is part of that. There is some fatigue in terms of when you hear the FBI, you hear the CIA, you hear the Department of Justice. Maybe because you had 4 years of trauma, you now hear those same three letters and immediately think negatively. And I do think they have a job to do still to rebuild, like you said, rebuild that trust, but also rebuild the trust in the brand. Because you know it's not everyone has been changed. Not everyone has been rooted out. It's not how it works in Washington, D.C. It is not everyone is the same. But let's move ahead and get some phone calls here. Let's go. There's one actually coming about. Let's go to Jeff in Ohio on line two. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Logan. Yeah, you mentioned it took 5 years to get the pipe bomber, but a part of me can't help but wonder if the previous administration at the outset, that is Christopher Wray, that they knew who the perpetrator was early on, but they didn't want to catch him because it didn't fit the narrative.
Yeah, Jeff. You know, that's obviously a possibility. I think more likely than not, it's not that it didn't fit the narrative as much as that this was not where their focus was. They decided that this was not important. For some reason, you may be right, they may know who it is, and they may have said, you know what, this isn't good for us, or this isn't good for any specific reason. We don't have that definitive details, but we do know is at least their eye was off the ball, because 10 months into President Trump's regime, 11 months into his regime, we have at least allegedly that person apprehended only 30 miles from the site.
Well, and to that point as well, Jeff, they said they had all the evidence. They didn't collect necessarily any new evidence, but instead they went through what they said was 3 million lines of data, which is a lot of evidence. And a lot of that is cell phone data, license plate readers, cameras nearby, things of that nature. That's a lot of things to go over. And then we're able to build the case and put it all together that it was the person that they were seeking. Now, what is unclear is whether or not that was the assumption. They then had to work through all the data to confirm that a previous FBI had, that it was this individual, and just didn't go any further with it, or whether they had all the evidence, had all the data, and then didn't do any of the real police work to figure out who it was. That's what we don't know. But to Jeff's point, it is apparent there was not political will or even police will to go after this individual that placed two active bombs at the site of the DNC and the RNC on the night before the January 6th unfolded. You would think, regardless of narrative, that the FBI would want to be putting someone who placed active bombs at the two leading parties of the United States headquarters, one of which the vice president-elect spoke at while the bomb was there. You would think that the FBI, no matter who the administration is, would want to go after that. What do we know? Things surrounding Arctic Frost kicked off very quickly. And so whether it be political DOJ, whether it be political FBI and deep state, they went all in, and they went across the entire country. And they said domestic terrorism was the largest threat to America. And they traced it through all these cases because someone from Texas went and stood on the mall that day in Washington, D.C. and didn't even go inside the Capitol, but can link that as a domestic terrorism case. They built a political narrative out of the January 6th events, and they pushed forward and they tried to make it so that a Republican, whether it be Donald Trump or anyone else, was so tainted by that they would never be able to win another election. Now, the events of breaking in the Capitol, it was not a good thing for our country. It was a bad day for our country. But they went so far with the political narrative that people saw through what they were doing. And I think that is evident in this entire January 6th pipe bomber case.
Yeah, there's a lot of comments coming in. Many are these sort of, I guess, conspiratorial messages. People are concerned. They have their own theories and thoughts. We actually have a call related to that as well. And I want to take that. Bobby's calling in New York. Bobby, go ahead.
Hi, from Niagara Falls on the American side. This is your fellow rascal. I'm very concerned about conspiracy theories on the right. I think they're hurting the right very badly. You know, a guy named Andy Ngo, I think I have the name right, he was on the Fox News channel the other night, and he wrote a book about saying how these conspiracy theories on the right are hurting the right very badly. And after he wrote that book, he started getting hate mail. And the only other thing I want to end with is I just wish Letitia James would have a conscience. And that's all I have to say for today, folks.
Well, Bobby, I disagree with you at all in terms of the conspiracy theories. And look, some of those conspiracy theories just end up becoming theories and they end up being right. So look, I understand that people feel vindicated in that, but sometimes they get spurred so far out of control that you start losing sight of really what's going on. You start making real evidence or try to create evidence of things that aren't true. Or you do the Jim just asking questions that we hear from so many people right now, asking questions that lead people down roads that are very hard to come back from. Roads that really can hurt not just the conservative movement, but can hurt you and your family and your mental state. And I really am concerned about even the way my feed on social media looks right now. When I open up X, there was a time when I feel like Elon had just taken over and things started sort of shifting to more of a center-right point of view. And now I feel like I'm getting fed, and probably is the content I'm interacting with because some of it's so shocking. I'm getting fed an endless stream of conspiracy, often targeted conspiracy to people of different races or religions, and usually without any sort of basis, just pure kind of hate that's coming out. And there is that big concern we need to be careful with. I think when you're trying to, you know, people say guard your heart, something like that, there is a lot of that that needs to be going on right now. Maybe you need to be taking in a little less or listen to shows like ours. Like, I don't want to just be here and self-promote, but I think we do a pretty good job of not being those conspiracy theorists. We've never been that way. We give you the facts. People call in with their point of view. We'll take them. We'll analyze them. We'll give you our response to their opinions. But that is what kind of separates the work we do here from a lot of other shows, is we are not just a show. We are also a legal organization. So at the ACLJ, when you support the financially the ACLJ, you're supporting both this broadcast, of course, but you are also supporting the legal work. And they have to go hand in hand. And they can't live totally independently of each other. We can't just come on here and say whatever we think because we think that's just going to drive numbers. I'm sure there are members of our social media team that wish we would. Numbers may be higher if we would just come out and say the most outlandish thing we can think of right now, rile you up, and then ruin your day, probably ruin your Thanksgiving, then ruin your Christmas, because we've decided to put all this in your head. What I really hope you do is watch this show for 1 hour a day. You think about it. Maybe you have a conversation at Spurs with you and your friends, your family, and then you move on with your life. That's what I hope. I hope we give you all the information you need for your day, and then you can move on. And you don't have to spend 24 hours in this sort of endless cycle. Because I'm real concerned about that. When we get back, we got some more content to cover. We will be taking some more calls at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. Last call for calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's take a call off the bat, and then we're going to get to a topic Will wants to talk about. Let's go to Victor in Texas. We can at least take care of him. Victor, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good day. How y'all?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I was just going to make a comment on your, they said, you know, the last 4 years, but for the FBI, the not the trust. This trust goes back decades.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clinton administration used the FBI. I mean, we had Ruby Ridge, we had Waco. This is underlying. And then as every regime change, if you're a conservative, you just sit there and wait to get persecuted.
Victor.
So I don't know what the answer is.
I think you're right in the sense of I didn't mean to just say the last 4 years. I mean, the last four years, maybe we've been, our eyes have been open to it a bit more. But of course, there was stuff during the first Trump administration that people were not too thrilled about.
Well, and I mean, J. Edgar Hoover wasn't the most up-and-up guy. Right. So it does have a long history of controversy, of corruption within the ranks of the FBI. And I think that is part of it where, though we do want a federal bureau of investigation that can do good law enforcement to protect the homeland from things like domestic terror attacks, things that happen on our soil, whether that be preventing the next 9/11 or whether it be stopping a bombing at a small town that, or finding someone who plays pipe bombs in D.C. right before the election was certified in Congress. Those are things that the FBI should be looking at, not parents at school board meetings, not Catholic churches that they want to infiltrate with spies, not putting their whistleblowers, their employees who said, hey, we're not doing the right thing, through absolute torture by not paying them, not allowing them to get another job, suspending their security clearance. Those are the things that happen within the last few years. And that's why it's so fresh on our mind, because these are things that we at the ACLJ have had to fight. We had to get justice for FBI whistleblowers. These are very fresh in our mind, but you are not incorrect, Victor, that there are issues, and there have been.
You know, I've had some issues today, Will.
Okay.
And I just did, for some reason, Doc Brown saying J. Edgar Hoover.
Uh-huh.
Which is not from Back to the Future.
Okay.
I don't know why I said it.
That's a it's a
reference.
Mandela effect?
I'm referencing a Ghostbusters reference where they say, if you think of J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover is going to come and destroy us. But I did it as if Doc Brown, when he goes, Ronald Reagan, the actor? So I don't know why. I just wanted to make sure, for my cred alone, that was stated.
You didn't think that's a line from Back to the Future.
But subconsciously, I did it as Doc Brown. So I don't know why. I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that I'm aware. I don't want to, don't be at me later.
All right, Logan. You know what I've got? What I've got is, this is the story we should have led with, but this is for the people that stuck around, because this is the most egregious thing out here today.
Okay.
Here's what has happened.
You're talking about maybe pushing opinions a little far, Will. Okay, that's
Logan,
the most
it's so
egregious thing that happened today.
Everyone's writing about it. New York Times is writing about it. Reuters is writing about it. We're seeing headlines and people very upset because Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, has done something unforgivable.
Oh, no.
So in their official diplomatic writings, They are no longer allowed to use Calibri, the font, which is what Anthony Blinken put in place. They have to revert back to what it had been pretty much forever before Anthony Blinken moved to Calibri, to Times New Roman. And I want to read you some of the outrage from these newspapers.
We're talking about, this is a font gate going on here.
This is font gate. They are having to go back to the font they used. This is the New York Times headline. At the State Department, a typeface falls victim in the war against woke. They lead off this article with Secretary Rubio waded into the surprisingly fraught politics of typefaces on Tuesday with an order halting the State Department's official use of Calibri. We have Reuters saying Rubio stages a font coup. Times New Roman ousts Calibri. We have the former head of the White House bureau chief for Voice of America.
Okay.
We don't have that. It doesn't really do anything anymore. But Voice of America's former White House bureau chief, he tweeted first.
Posted on X.
Dadgummit, you always get me there. But he posted on X that Secretary of State Rubio has concluded Calibri is a DEI font and orders U.S. diplomats to revert to Times New Roman in official communications. Then, followed up 10 minutes later with this nugget, the Nazis in 1941 banned the Fraktur font because it was, quote, too Jewish. This is Trump derangement syndrome at its finest. So, they are writing articles about a reverting back to a font because the Secretary of State thinks it's more formal.
Say, why did Secretary Rubio decide even to weigh in? And like, what? Why are we even discussing this? I don't even feel like this should be on their table. It should never make it to their desk. There shouldn't be a discussion. I feel like that's one part that's weird to me about this, and Blinken changing it as well, which is, we got some real stuff to deal with. Why are we dealing with font changes here? I feel like someone maybe just in the design side of this could make that call, and we wouldn't have to have the Secretary of State saying, you know what we need?
Well,
we need to make these big changes. Now, I looked at both fonts, compared them. Look, I'm a fontman. I spend a lot of time with fonts. My son and members of our family, we spend a lot of time looking at different fonts. We got members of our family with severe dyslexia. There are fonts that are better for people like that.
This is
who,
true.
Who have issues. So I understand that. Calibri is kind of on the edge of it. It's not one of the official. So to me, I'm like, go all the way.
Right.
Go full. There are fonts that everyone can read. People with severe dyslexia can read. Why don't we go that far? I'm fine with that. You know, it's this weird. Honestly, I just feel like it is such a waste of time in general. The fact that we even have this discussion, the fact that they're wasting, I was going to say wasting paper. Of course, no one's really printing, but wasting even the mental capacity to create these articles. It's absolutely absurd. And of course, now they have to blame it on somehow it being some sort of right-wing, alt-right propaganda machine doing something just like, you know, like I said, 10 minutes later.
They have to take it to Nazi. They
gotta take it to Nazi.
But one of our producers, Will, said, who knew the Serif Wars would outdo the Tariff Wars this holiday season? I like that. Read it for you guys. Everyone heard it here
Serif
first.
Serif v. Tariff.
There you go.
Man, I don't know. See, I probably am again taking a view. People are like, no, we should be standing up for Times New Roman. I don't really care about Times New Roman. I actually care about the fact that if you want to go far with it. Make it the most easy to read. We all know if it's a person without sort of reading difficulties, Helvetica, the easiest.
Well, also
proven.
This was on like very near the top on the New York Times website.
Yeah.
When Anthony Blinken changed it, no one ever heard about this.
I don't even think it was
so
new,
it's
right.
Only so they can go after conservatives, bash the Trump administration, say that they're ridiculous, and make a random Nazi comparison that I'm sure they had to use ChatGPT to find.
I'm looking at the New York Times website. They could definitely make that font a little easier to read.
They have their own proprietary imperial font.
And it is real smushed.
Yes.
It's too smushed, really. All right. With that, we hope we lightened up your day here towards the end of this show. I want you to think about supporting the work of the ACLJ. Whether you care about the fonts we use or not, I don't really care. You know that we do important work out here, fighting for you, fighting for your freedoms around the world here at the ACLJ, the ECLJ, ACLJ Jerusalem, and so much more. I encourage you to support the work if you can, because we've got incredible ACLJ supporters ready to unlock a pledge up to $1 million. You can do this at a $5 level. You can give, you know, $500,000 if you can. Not expecting it, but what a day it would be, Will. ACLJ.org. Scan that QR code. We'll talk to you tomorrow.